Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Gemma Abel.
Afternoon. Hello. Close your eyes. Don't go to sleep. Switch off your mind. Let all your thoughts go away. Today, we are going to respond with our spirits. Today, as we get some more encouragement, funny enough, from what God's just done in the worship, we're going to look at some scriptures which are going to completely encourage you further, and that's what we're going to respond to today, yeah? Amen. So, any thoughts, get rid of them. And, yeah, have a yes and amen from your spirit. Cool. Are we awake? Are we ready?
Yes.
Good. Cool. Where to begin? I don't know. I had lots of trains of thoughts going through my head, and I was like, where do I start? What do I do? Where do I begin? No idea. But you know what? You know, on Friday, when Pastor Judith Butler was talking about special privileges, I got really, really excited. I really like special privileges from the Lord, walking in the Lord. And I've always felt, I can admit this now, because I feel like I've been told it's okay to be excited about special privileges. I've always felt kind of arrogant about expecting things from Jesus. I am a person that receives love via gifts, and I'm now okay with that. It's been a journey, but I always used to get quite embarrassed about admitting it. I used to get quite embarrassed when people actually tried to love me in that way and give me gifts, because I was like, oh no, that's naughty, I shouldn't be like that, that's kind of arrogant, that, you know, expecting people to buy me things, that's naughty. But you know what? It's great.
Yeah.
And I like gifts, and I don't think it's a bad thing. So, when a washing machine was given away, I was holding out for Sunday for a car to be given away, but it didn't happen. So I'm still holding on to that. I was like, come on, Jesus. I would like a new car, and that would be my special privilege that would just make me very happy right now. So anyway, special privileges. But then I went away, and I started to think, you know, I'm very expectant. When I get into the Word, when I pray, I expect things. And when I get hold of the Word and I read what it says, I expect to then see that. And if I don't see it, I have quite a rant, and I get on my high horse, if you like, and I'm like, ah, why is this not happening? That's who I am. It's okay. God made me like this, and it's a good thing. Because I channel it in the Spirit. And actually, it can be very productive to be stubborn in the Spirit. So I'm now happy with this, dealt with this, it's a good thing. But I began to think, actually, what holds us back? Why do we not always expect? Why do we not expect God's favour every single day? Why do we have moments when we're like, oh, is that really arrogant of me to think like that, to pray like that, to speak like that? You know, should I be expecting to be blessed abundantly every single day? Should I be expecting to walk in to an optician's? My husband went to an optician's yesterday, walked in, got about £220 or something, knocked off all these glasses and other stuff. And I was like, he was like, that was favour, come on. I was like, yes. But why would we walk in and not expect that? You know? Why do we not? Brian always laughs at Dan when they work together, because every time Dan phones, or the phone goes, or he makes a phone call about buying something, he always gets money off. Always, always gets money off. And Brian was really beginning to laugh at this and be like, how do you do it? How do you charm them? How do you speak them round? How do you manage to get discounts? And he was like, it's God's favour. There's an expectation when he phones. He's like, well, this is, I have this much money, but I would like these extra things. So God, you're going to make it happen for this much money. And it happens every single time. He always gets what he wants, and he always gets money off. So yes, he's very good at that. But there's an expectation. So I made a little list. Why, what holds us back from expecting these things, okay? Is it thoughts of we're not good enough? Is it thoughts of we don't deserve goodness? We don't deserve gifts. We don't deserve blessings. You know, if someone gives you a birthday present, if it's someone you don't know very well, do you go, oh, no, I'm a bit embarrassed, I don't really know? Or do you go, wow, thanks, that's amazing. You remembered, you bought me a gift. Is it because we've done bad things and we think, oh, that one was really pushing it, that was a really bad thing, just toppled me over and off God's list? Is it because we think it's quite arrogant to think like that or to expect like that? Do we think it's kind of selfish to be like, well, actually, I need a washing machine, mine is broken, so I'm going to expect Jesus to give me one? Yeah? Is it too British? Are we too polite? You know, do we think we're kind of too spoilt in our attitudes if we expect things? What holds us back from expecting favor? We needed a house this year. Our house had an indoor water feature when it rained. Water came down the walls from the window. Our landlords were absolutely lovely, beautiful people, but didn't often fix the problem. They just kind of tried to cover it over a bit. And so we were like, Jesus, we actually have an indoor water feature in a house. We need a new house. My expectation was we were going to move this year. God accelerated it and did it in the matter of a couple of months, but my expectation was, I want a house. We financially have no way of getting a house. I want a house. Sort it out. But do you know what I mean? I used to think, wow, that's really arrogant. Jem, you're being too bolshy with Jesus. You're being too demanding. But no. Let's go to Scripture. I started to look in Scripture. And what does he say? He says, let's have a look. Okay, we'll go in order. Let's start with Matthew. Everyone who has left behind homes, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, or possessions on my behalf will receive 100 times as much as he has sacrificed and will also inherit eternal life. Okay, another one. That servant will be well rewarded if his master finds him fulfilling his duties diligently when he returns. If we're serving God, the favor is there. For everyone who is faithful in using what he has received will be given more. Okay? So you're faithful in little things, you get more. So much more that he will have an abundance. Come on. So much more that there will be an abundance. He has promised that each person will be rewarded for what he or she has done. Your reward will come from him, the rich inheritance he has promised you. At all times, you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised things. He has promised abundance. He has promised a fruitful life. He has promised goodness. He has promised favor. If we are serving daily, why is our expectation not to have it? Yeah? We serve daily in this church. I'll speak about me and Dan because that's all I know, okay? So relate it, put it into your own lives. But, you know, Dan works for the church. He's here. He leaves our house on a Monday night to go and do something social. But the next time actually Elizabeth and I see him fully is on a Saturday because he's here basically from 9 till 10, half 10 at night, depending when band practices or God Encounter, wherever finishes. You know, he's here. And so our quality time again then is Saturday. And then Sunday we're here all day and our quality time again and then is Monday. And I'm not saying that to be like, oh, they never see each other. I'm saying that because our life, we've chosen this life. Our life is to serve the Lord. Yeah? It's not something where I'm like, oh, I don't get to see my husband. Oh, church. Oh, I don't like you. We've chosen this lifestyle. It's something we stepped into. It's something when I married Dan, I was like, this is what I'm stepping into. His life, his word over his life is to serve his parents. I married into that. I stepped into that. I chose voluntarily, somewhat didn't quite realize the extent. I chose voluntarily at the time to step into that and to say, I know, small print. It was too small. You know, you needed one of those markers where it's invisible. Yeah, black light. Yeah. Anyway, I married into that and I stepped into it and I said, yes, this is what is spoken over your life. You are the man of our household, if you like. I'm going to serve you in this way. So therefore, we are here. This is our lifestyle. We've chosen it. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But because of that, my expectation is, I want this favor. I want this blessing. I want this abundance. I want what I read about. Do. It's the truth. I want it. I don't like it. Like, we always have little, Charlotte and I, we always have little moments of our like, ah. But it's really funny because every time something happens And the enemy comes against Dan and I. I'm like, Charlotte, take him one for the team this week. And she knows exactly what I mean. And every time she comes in and something's happening, she's like, Jem, take him one for the team this week. I'm like, yes. Do you know what I mean? That's a good thing. Taking one for the team, for the church family, is what I mean, means actually God's doing something.
Yes.
Everyone keeps asking me at the minute, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm really busy. But I was like, it's a good busy. Because God's doing stuff. Because he is productive in his time right now. And things are happening in the church. And things are really just quite crazy, actually. If I'm completely honest, it seems to be really, really busy. But a good busy. I'm really exhausted, but a good exhausted. Because God's doing stuff. And I'm seeing fruit because of the hours we're putting in. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So therefore, all this in my life, I want the favor. I want the blessing. I want the abundance. My expectations are to see stuff happen. Cool. Flipping over. Why does it happen? Why should things be blessed? Why should things be abundantly given to us? Why should we be walking in it? Because we're in a lifestyle where we're serving God, because his grace is brilliant and wonderful, completely undeserving and completely consistent and relentless, and it is continuously pouring out. So on that note, how do we create a culture of favor, a culture of excellence, a culture of success? How do we breed in this church an expectation of we're going to succeed because we're living in God's favor? We do that by trusting him. And I believe we do that by accepting his challenges. I've had a lot in me this last few weeks about, are we challenged enough? People on a Sunday night will tell you this has been my, are we challenged enough? Do we like challenges? Are they good? Are they bad? Do we accept them? Do we run away from them? Are we challenged frequently enough, do we think? Are you challenged enough? If you're challenged, okay, to be challenged is to have faith for a situation that wouldn't happen unless you had that faith. You with me? Do you get me? Okay, so we need to have faith. We're going on challenges this morning. That's not where I was going. Super. So, a challenge is a situation where you have to have faith. Otherwise it won't happen. There won't be any success in it. It will not happen. So, let's go to his grace, because that overcomes all his challenges. So we can clearly see that God's promises are given to a people of faith. They will only be fulfilled by his grace, what he has done in and through us. This is Romans I'm reading for. Romans 5, it says, we stand daily in the flow of God's free gifts to us, and we can rejoice that a greater revelation of his glory awaits us. But I believe that when we're challenged and we accept a challenge, it grows our confidence. It grows our trust. It grows our revelation of who God is. And then he gives us another challenge. And we say, okay, I'll accept that because the last one I succeeded in. And so he gives us another one, and we say, yeah, we like this challenge, we'll accept this challenge, we'll go with this challenge, we'll succeed in this challenge. And you succeed. Then he comes again, he does this quite a lot, and he gives you more challenges. Because we read earlier, that as you're faithful in little things that he gives you big things. And he gives you more responsibility. And he gives you greater challenges. But it's these challenges that, if and when we accept them and we go with them, our trust is increased. But bear with me. We succeed in the challenge because we're walking in his favor. Do you get what I mean? I feel like I'm rambling, but I'm not rambling. There are points in all of this, okay? So to cultivate a lifestyle of succeeding and getting somewhere and always being expectant to succeed is to pick up those challenges and to walk with them and to go forward in them and to trust God, because he will succeed in them, because we're living in his favor. If your daily walk and your daily journey and your daily adventure is with Jesus, and that's what you're living for, and that's what your heart says, then you're in his favor. You're in that constant flow of his free gifts, because you're in him. So, challenges are a good thing. They're not a bad thing, okay? And I think God challenges us a lot to give us that determined attitude that has been preached about for the last 4 weeks or whatever. In Luke, you know, he gives us that resolute attitude, that determination, that stubbornness in the spirit to go forward and to take up things. If you take up a challenge, it's not a point of, oh, I could lose, I could fail. Oh, if I fail, that's a sign of weakness. Or if I fail, that might lead to rejection. I was brought up like that, and that's what I always used to think. Oh, if I do badly, oh, then I failed. That's weakness, that's losing. Oh, I'm going to be rejected. People are going to be like, oh, you're so rubbish because you didn't accomplish this or you didn't do that. That's not what a challenge is about. A challenge is about being determined. A challenge is about saying yes, no matter what it is, not saying, God, oh, tell me what it is first, and then I'll see if I want to accept it, but saying yes. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to take hold and stand firm of these teachings that you've been putting into me, and I'm going to go forward in this challenge with a determined attitude, and I'm going to expect success because you're in it, because I walk in your favor. There's a little saying going around in my head, and it's from a film, and it's from the film Robots, and I had to get a film in here, okay? Forgive me, but I had to. And he says, see a need, fill a need. A challenge is seeing a need and filling it. When I came to Scarborough 4 years ago, there was a need in this church for young people. There was Dan and Josh. Don't know if anyone remembers Josh. It was Dan and Josh. Two people. And Pastor Paul came to me and said, if you want any friends, go get them. And I was like, oh. There was a need. I'm a very shy person. I find it very hard to talk to people. Dan and I sat on the grass at campus and randomly went up to people. Can I help you? Should I move this box for you? Should I take your suitcase for you? Hello, parents that I don't know. How are you doing? I go to church. I'd like to take your child to church. What do you reckon? It was a very scary thing. There was a need.
Come on.
We saw a need. We filled the need. For the last 4 years, there's been a continuous flow of young people in the church. Ray! Yeah. Had some friends. Ray! You know, it's been great. Yeah. See a need, fill a need. No idea what I was doing, but the grace of God was upon me to do that. Became a mother. Woohoo! Started hanging out with parents. There was a need for little people groups, toddler groups, speaking to mums. There is stuff going on in town, but there wasn't anything with lots of space. There wasn't anything with structure. And went to some people in church, talked to them. Little Builders started. A year ago, very soon actually, a couple of days' time. And there was a need. We saw it, we filled it. We now have 50 kids, average, every week, coming into the building, plus parents. There was a need. We saw it, we filled it. At the minute, God's talking to me about a different, completely different group within the community. And I'm currently just processing that and getting strategy and saying, okay, God, how do you want this to look? What do you want this to look like? I will submit it when I've got that. Don't worry, haven't got that yet. And but it's seeing a need, but it's allowing God to show you that need. It's allowing God to say, let me highlight this in front of your eyes. Read my word and know that you are graced to do what I am asking you to do and fill the need. His grace, it says in 2 Corinthians, he is able to cause all his grace to overflow in your lives so that in all things at all times you will have all you need and much more besides that. Much more besides that. So that you will overflow in the way you bless others. My grace is always sufficient to meet your need. Always sufficient. My power is revealed more perfectly through your weakness. He might highlight a need that you have no... I don't like children. I have a child. I don't like children. They're quite snotty and gross sometimes, and I don't like that. I just don't like them. But I love my child because it's mine. Completely selfish. But I don't know what to do with them when there's 50 kids running around in here, and I'm like, oh, where do you start? But he graces me every Tuesday morning and says, Jem, get out of bed. Jem, get your butt there at 8:30. Sort out the toys. Jem, get on with it. He graces me for those few hours, and he gives me the energy to do it, because it is no longer a walk in the park, let me tell you. It is hard work on a Tuesday morning. But he graces me. Tuesday nights, when I have students in my house, not really great, don't really know how to converse with them all the time, but he graces me to do it. And he says, Jem, you saw a need, you're filling it. Of course I'm going to grace you. Sunday nights. No idea how that came about. No idea, really. Well, I do know what goes on. But, you know, spiritually, it's awesome on a Sunday night. Every single week, God is so faithful in pitching up with his presence. And it is such a powerful worship time. The word is always good. No matter who's giving it, they are graced to do it. I don't really know how everything comes or has come about in my time here. But I know he graces me to do it. And I know that if I'm obedient in stepping into the need that he highlights in front of me, he will grace me. It will be a success. And it will happen brilliantly because I walk in his favor every day. Because my lifestyle has chosen to be in Christ. My lifestyle has said, me and my family will serve you all the days of our lives. No matter what it costs us, no matter how much time we get together or we don't get together, no matter how many times we might cut down on our luxuries or try and cut down the food bill or whatever it is, or we say, actually, this week, we don't need this, we want to give this to this person. No matter what it costs us, our hearts are to serve him. And that is his favor. That is why getting a house was so easy. That is why we never seem to go without. That is why our lives are a testimony to say, God is awesome. We have amazing friends, we have amazing family, and he provides financially for us every month. Not quite sure how sometimes. When our dad's salary, the bills, they're equal. But we still live. Still run a car. Do you know what I mean? Mathematically, no idea how it figures out. But he does it. Because I've chosen a lifestyle. And admittedly, did not know what I was getting into. But I don't regret it. I don't look back at the past and say, well, if I had stayed in a full-time job, if I had done this, if I hadn't gone to Bible college, if I hadn't moved up here, if I hadn't given in and got married, if I hadn't done this, how would my life be different? You know, would I have loads more money? Would I be out partying with my friends? Would I be doing this? Would I be doing that? I don't regret any of my choices because I believe they're God-given choices. I believe they're things that he said. Now is the time to settle. Now is the time to be married. Now is the time to buy a house. Now is the time to raise a family. Now is the time to work with students. Now is the time to work with little people. Favor. Every day. I haven't said anything I wrote down. Sorry about that. But it's a good thing to accept a challenge, to take on his favor, to see a need and to fill a need. Should we read quickly? You never know. There might be something amazing I wrote down. And I haven't even read it. There was a scripture I got during worship. I think I said it earlier, but yeah. 2 Thessalonians. Stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. But actually, especially this last month and the series of teachings we've had, to stand firm and hold on to them. With both hands, not limply with one or a few fingers, with both hands, hold on and say, actually, enemy, get out. This is not my expectation. I am better than that. I do deserve better than this. And when rubbish stuff happens, or life comes against us, or people come against us, actually, enemy, that's not my portion. I don't believe this is what should be happening. I don't believe this is right. What I believe is that God's grace is upon my life every day, and I'm flowing in his gifts every single day. And I'm walking in his abundance every single day. Stand firm and hold on to them. Let your spirit encourage you. When attacks come, shut your mind off. Let your spirit rise up and say, no, I am going to respond to this in a spiritual way. I'm not going to react in my flesh. I'm not going to react in, panic, oh my word, crumble, the world is going to end. I'm going to shut my mind up, stop my thinking before it gets even worse because my mind decides to, jabber on. But let my spirit respond and say, this is the word of God. This is what I'm holding on to. This is what I'm standing in. This is what I'm proclaiming over my life. I do not receive this. I receive my promises. I receive my inheritance. It's hard. I'm not standing here saying I get it right all the time. It's hard to, in that split second, shut your mind up, to stop your flesh responding. It's hard to say, Spirit, come on. It's your time to rise. It's your time to spiritually recall whatever needs to be recalled and promises over my life. But that's what we have to do. That's what keeps us standing strong. That's what keeps us holding on. If we crumble, go to someone else. They'll pick you up, dust you off, slap you on the face and say, get over yourself, get on with it. That's what my husband does. No, it is trust. But that's what I need, personally. That's what I need as a person. I am completely honest with myself. And whenever Dan comes home, don't get me wrong, this does not happen on a frequent basis, but once every kind of 3-4 months, he might come home and I'll be on the floor crumbling, a mess. And he literally walks in. He's like, Jem, what are you doing? Get up. Get over yourself. And he walks off and carries on. And I'm like, poor me, poor me. And he's like, get over it. Literally, I have those 2 minutes to say, oh, yeah, okay. Or I can continue to wallow, but then I get annoyed because he doesn't give me sympathy. And he doesn't cuddle me, and he doesn't go there, it's okay, like a little puppy. He just is like, get over yourself. And I'm like, okay. But that's what I need, someone stronger in God to say, sort it out. Otherwise I just wallow for weeks and months, and I eat far too much chocolate, and it's not a pretty sight. So it's better just to have someone you trust to come in, slap you around the face and say, get on with it. They don't actually have to slap you. But do you know what I mean? To encourage you spiritually. Yeah, that's become a world like Jonah off the VeggieTales where they slap each other with fish. No, we don't need to do that. I have no idea what that is. It sounds like a marching band, is it? Cool, let's go watch the marching band. Cool, praise God. I really hope your spirit got something from that. And enjoy the marching band, yeah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.